Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
This is episode 236 of That Larry Show, now in its third year. In addition to these 236 episodes, there are several dozen bonus episodes, which are available only to those who help support the show. That's well over 100 hours of content, and in all that time, I have never had a guest. Until now. Why not? Because I was waiting to bring you, not a celebrity. Those are really common, especially here in Los Angeles. I wanted to bring you someone who transcends mere fame and celebrity. I wanted to interview a living legend. I have such a man for you. And coincidentally, this man will reveal for the first time that I know of the names of two enormously powerful American political figures who want him dead. There are some prosaic paths to fame, athletics, entertainment, and politics being the most common. John McAfee has a flavor of fame that cannot be categorized. His name, for many years, was a corporate brand, McAfee Antivirus Software. At that time, I didn't know who John McAfee was. I didn't even know if there was a John McAfee or if it was just a made-up trade name. I'd imagine most of his customers were equally unaware. The brand was eponymous. Does anybody think or care if some guy named Campbell actually makes the soup? Then I recalled reading somewhere that there was a guy named McAfee and that he sold his company for hundreds of millions. Another tech tycoon. Well, good for him, whoever he was. And I forgot about him. Until some years ago, I stumbled on a YouTube video that was wild and fresh and bizarre and very funny. The John McAfee, surrounded by several voluptuous, luscious, lascivious women. Like some kind of 007 poster come to life. In that video, he's wearing a pistol and snorting a pile of white powder, and lighting cigarettes with $100 bills, and talking about what shit the McAfee antiviral software company has become since he sold it 15 years before. As he speaks, the libidinous women stroke and fondle him. How he managed to keep talking as this was going on is a testament to the guy's focus. Eventually, the women remove his shirt. Then, he pulls the pistol from his shoulder holster and blasts a laptop. Kaboom. And I looked at this video and I laughed and applauded and thought, somehow, I have got to meet this fucking guy. I like him. Maybe there is something to that jazz about the universe answering requests. I never even verbalized my desire, but just a few days ago, I spent about an hour with John. I'm going to share part one of my conversation with him in just a little bit. But first, I need to back up a smidge. I spent vast chunks of my life toiling in corporate America. Big corporate America, mammoth companies with billions and billions in annual revenue. And to be honest, I hated nearly every fucking minute of it. Why? Because most of the guys running them were boring, uptight stiffs. They thought they were hip, slick, and cool, when in fact, they were dull and tacky schlubs. There were a handful of exceptions, but those exceptions never made it to the top because cool and creativity are really not prized in corporate America. Conformity is, agreement is, compliance is, and the most valued trait of all is obsequiousness. The sycophant is well rewarded. Boat rockers and rebels are not. Funny how the favorite cliche of corporate tools is, think out of the box. In point of fact, Most of them live in a box. Little fiesta-colored boxes made of tin, which if you turn the crank on the side, their corporate clown heads pop up on a spring. John McAfee is undeniably cool. He does not give a fuck what anyone thinks. That may well be the first and most critical component of cool. McAfee was not your typical software guy. Bill Gates is more the archetype, isn't he? Nerdy and safe and excruciatingly dull. But here's this McAfee in his video, like somebody playing a drug lord taunting the cops. Except he was too amusing, too articulate, not menacing enough. He didn't have dead eyes that hellbound people usually do. This guy was just having fun. A lot of fun. And then his fame grew. He lived in Belize. He was falsely accused of murder. He fled the country. There were several documentaries done about him. His fame was morphing into infamy. He was becoming notorious. I watched a couple of those documentaries, you know the ones, 48 Hours or Dateline, those things. And then there was a feature-length film that really slammed him. But a guy like McAfee doesn't capsize because a few media assholes try to torpedo him. Like they say, you can't keep a good man down. McAfee is buoyant. Over the last few years, while on the run from various entities, mostly U.S. government agencies, he has amassed a huge and loyal following on Twitter. His tweets have made various cryptocurrencies skyrocket or flame out. His exploits have crossed over from the realm of adventure to the stuff of legend. John McAfee has the rarest of all varieties of fame. He is a living legend. Unlike most famous people, he didn't acquire his fame by scoring goals or knockouts or accumulating Oscars or platinum records or votes. As difficult as those achievements can be, countless have done so and countless more will. There are clear paths to common fame, well-trodden trails. McAfee has had no path. He hacked his way through life with his wits, his charm, his humor, and his balls. John McAfee is now famous for being John McAfee. It's difficult to think of others who may be in that class. There are those who are famous for being famous, Kardashians and the like, but few people from any realm could do what McAfee now does daily, sometimes several times a day, and that is turn a camera on himself and be entertaining. And his videos needn't be framed in anything dramatic, as when he was evading authorities on his yacht in the Caribbean Sea. Of late, he appears to be safely ensconced in some pleasant location, which is where I found him when we talked. I thought a lot about what I wanted to learn from John, and it sure as hell wasn't anything about cryptocurrencies or technology. The world already knows that stuff. I wanted to find out about the man and what made him who he is. We all have to start somewhere, and childhood is the beginning, and Christmas, aside from our own birthdays, is probably when most of us reflect on our past. So, over an internet connection, somewhere on the other side of the world, here is part one of my talk with John McAfee.
Let me start off with the easy ones first. What do you want for Christmas?
I don't celebrate Christmas.
Oh, that's right. You know what I should ask you? You wanted the location of Santa so you could wreak your havoc on him. Has anybody ratted him out yet or what? What's the deal?
Nobody. Nobody. So, right, as a result, I just don't bother celebrating Christmas anymore. So, until I get my freaking toys that he promised me while I was sitting on his many laps as I was growing up. No. So... I was raised in the Episcopal Church, so obviously Christmas was a major part of my upbringing and customs as a younger person. But now, to me, Christmas is not about a spirit of giving, but about a spirit of spending.
Of course.
It's a spirit of let's keep corporate America afloat for one more year by buying shit that people don't want and don't need and giving it to them. So I hate to be cynical. I hope I will be cynical no more on your podcast tonight.
Oh, please. We love cynicism here. In fact, we thrive on it, John. So have at it, my
friend. Fair enough.
Please. Fair enough. You've been a man on the run now for what? Is it 6 years? How long has it been?
Well, we're not on the run anymore. We're in hiding.
You're hiding.
Well, listen, I guess if you don't live a life like Janice and I, you might not separate out running from hiding.
Right.
But now for 6 years, we have been running.
Right.
And letting people know where we are. I mean, like for the past, starting in January, we left before the grand jury convened to charge Janice and I with tax, whatever. Mm-hmm. And went to the Bahamas. I knew it wouldn't last forever. I went to the Bahamas because the Bahamian government has no income tax, and therefore a failure to file for it is not a crime, and therefore I cannot be extradited. So that only lasted a few months before the whatever powers that be hatched the plot with a gentleman named Paul Roll, who is the police commissioner for the country of the Bahamas.
Right.
Hatched the plot, who knows, paid him a few dollars to have me arrested on some minor crime, and while in jail, because of now I am a potential criminal, the Bahamians are more than happy to extradite me, and anybody, any country would. Right. So, but we got out of the country before then. We went to Cuba. We were there for a month and a half before the Cuban government came in, came to us, called us in, and said, the American government has asked us to return you unofficially to America, because there's no official channel.
Yes.
And we said we would reply in a few days. We would like you, Mr. McAfee, to leave our country within 72 hours and not to return. And I go, you bet, no problem. And we had our yacht there, and it takes days to prepare a big-ass boat for open ocean. And they kept coming a couple times a day. Mr. McAfee, are you sure you're going to be gone in 51 hours? Absolutely. Mr. McAfee, are you sure you're going to be gone in 30 hours? And I go, listen, if I have to swim to Haiti, I will be gone. Do not worry. So we left Cuba, sailed 4.5 days to the Dominican Republic. And, you know, we were arrested as soon as we arrived in the Dominican Republic on fake charges. And again said, we have to ship you back to America. All this is to get me back to America. I hired lawyers and legal maneuvers got us out of the country. And after 4 days in jail, went to England. And see, all this time, that's called being on the run. Everybody knows where we are, but we are moving around to the point, keeping one step ahead.
Yeah.
When we hit London, when I demanded to go to London with Janet, we sat and talked to the baby. Let's go into hiding for a few months, and we can go back on the run later. And so we've been hiding now for 5 months. Nobody knows where we are, not our families, not our closest friends. No one. And no one will. We communicate from within a Faraday cage. Keep in mind, I more or less started the computer security industry.
Yes.
And few know more about that than myself. And if I don't want to be found, I promise you, I will not be found.
So
now we've been doing this for 5 months and we love it. Hiding is great.
Is it great? What's the best part about it?
Absolutely no worries.
Yeah.
The bad part about it is we're limited as to where we can go, when we can go, how I can appear publicly. It has to be a surprise always. I can't announce in advance I'm going to be appearing in London, like I showed up in Barcelona in Spain a month ago. as a surprise. I just walked out onto the stage, you know, to roaring applause. And that's the only way I can do it. So that's the limitations of it. Okay. The joy of it is nobody's after you. We don't have to be looking over our shoulder. I don't have to have my ear to the ground constantly. But that's how we survive being on the run. I find out in advance when anything is aimed my way, like Paul Rule and the CIA trying to collect me illegally, well, legally slash illegally by manufacturing a crime, arresting me in the Bahamas, and then having the U.S. ask for extradition.
So the difference, right? So the CIA would like to get their mitts on you, clearly, and probably other government agencies, whatever they are.
And FBI is one.
FBI is one. Okay. And as we know, bureaucracies are run by bureaucrats and individuals. Okay. Now, question. Are there specific individuals that have it in for you?
Yeah. All right. Now, this is going to be hard to believe, but you may check it out in the public record of the mainstream media. For whatever record that is worth. All right, now, well, yes, two names. James Comey. Thank God he is no longer in the position he's in. And Hillary Clinton. Now, why? All right. When I went on the run in Belize, part of my problem was, okay, so I'd been having a problem with police for years. Okay, they raided my property in the jungle, shot my dog, abused me, and all this shit over petty politics because I refused to be extorted for money. It was stupid of me. I should have, you know, they came and asked for $2 million donation to their campaign after I'd moved into the jungle of police. And I was the only white man in a region of 15,000 people in the jungle, huge area. I should have known better than even doing that. I should have stayed in San Pedro. But in any case, so I refused to pay bribes, refused to be extorted, and a war broke out. It culminated, it had two culminations. It culminated with their storming my compound in the jungle with 42 armed soldiers, destroyed my lab. And that started, I was pissed off. So being a computer security sort of expert, I donated a bunch of laptops to key members of the Belizean government, mostly to their secretaries, knowing that when a brand new laptop showed up at a secretary's desk, and it's common, by the way, for, you know, attractive women, and by the way, all secretaries for government agencies are attractive.
How about that?
At least, it's not uncommon for men to send them presents. And knowing that they would be confiscated by their bosses, like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, this is from Mr. McAfee, right? So I didn't send them direct. Obviously, they would be suspicious. I sent them to secretaries. Sometimes girlfriends, all right? And all of them had malware on them to turn on the camera, turn on the microphone, and pass to me all communications, whether it be email or what have you. and spent about, 4 months not personally analyzing it. I hired a bunch of kids. This is my downfall. This is what fucking happened. Okay. Hired a bunch of kids to just look through the data for anything with my name, the town of Orange Walk, the gang suppression unit, which is the unit that got anything, looking for proof that they had set me up because I refused to pay $2 million in extortion. And by the way, after they came and arrested me that day, and I was only in jail for a few hours, they had no charges. The following day, the man who had originally come to me and said, why don't you donate $2 million to our campaign, right? The ruling party, all right? And I go, no, I'm not interested in politics. Next, after the arrest and the harassment and everything else, he came back to, oh, Mr. McAfee, we are so sorry. We're so sorry we had bad information. You know, it happens. We made a mistake. Please accept our government's apology. And Mr. McAfee, while I am here, have you reconsidered your donation? And I said, get the fuck off my property or I will shoot you for trespassing. Okay. That was another stupid mistake. I should have said, yes, I have definitely reconsidered it. Having spent a night in one of your jails, having been harassed, yes, and I'm going to give you $4 million instead of two. That's what a rational man would do. But me, I said, get the fuck. you know. In any case, whatever, it's water under the bridge, I made a mistake. Now, at that point is when I decided, I'm going to catch you motherfuckers because I'm going to prove you set me up, shot my dog, destroyed my $500,000 worth of my property, abused me, made me look like an idiot in the national, in the international press. You're not getting away with this shit. So that's what I'm building in computers, looking for why they have set me up and proof that they've set me up. Didn't find anything about that. I did find out that the Minister of National Defense was the largest drug dealer in all of Central America. Found out that the Minister of Immigration was the largest human trafficker, at least in Belize and Guatemala. I found out that the Prime Minister had, by the way, give you an idea of what third world countries really are like. The prime minister created his own private army called the Gang Suppression Unit, reported directly to him, even though he had a military force that reported to him. His people were trained by the FBI in Quantico and armed by the State Department. Why? It's what we do with third world dictatorships. God knows why. And so, imagine this in America. Can you imagine President Trump walking in with his private army into Congress, right? Lining the walls surrounding people. And then, now, let's negotiate that issue that we're talking about. Can you imagine? And yet, that is what happens daily in Belize. The Gang Suppression Unit is his private hit force, okay? And that's what he sent after me. And why it led to that, I'll tell you later, but nevertheless. So I find nothing about that, but I do find out all this other horrific shit. Damn, the Minister of Finance. Motherfucking hell, he was the money launderer of all. Money laundering.
Okay.
Two of his clients were James Comey and one of Hillary Clinton's trusts.
Ooh.
Now, because I moved back to San Pedro, everything went fine until one of the girls that was monitoring these computers slept with the Minister of National Defense. Who in their pillow talk, and by the way, she was also sleeping with me, by the way, all right? slept with, and in their pillow talk, he just innocently said, so what are you up to these days? So I'm working with John McAfee. Really, what you doing? Oh, it's incredible. Says, yeah, we're listening in on all these private conversations, and suddenly, the cat's now out looking back. Now, what does the Minister of Finance do? Well, he called all of his clients, which are heads of states, of legitimate nation states, you know, the criminal prosecutors, lawyers, you name it, the rich and the powerful. And among the rich and the powerful that were called was James Comey and Hillary Clinton. So now, Things deteriorate because of this. this. I mean, big time. My dogs are suddenly killed, and this is after months of intense harassment by the Belizean government and others.
Yes.
About 10 of my dogs are poisoned. The following night, my neighbor, two houses down, is murdered. The following day, now I have monitors everywhere. Every house. I mean, you can't approach my house within a mile that I don't know you're approaching. About a mile down the beach through one of my telephoto cameras, I saw the police coming. So I went into my safe place in the property. I won't say what that was or where, but it cooled them for 24 hours, enough for me to get into town, into a fisherman's shack with Samantha, my girlfriend, and get away. Before I left San Pedro, I called the U.S. Embassy and talked to Balthazar Garcia, the head of security at the time, and a very good friend of mine. I said, Balthazar, you know what's happening? He said, yes, yes, that I'm coming into the embassy for sanctuary. He said, Mr. McAfee, we have been ordered by the highest authority, he goes, he repeated it. I'm telling you, the highest authority, that we are not to give you entrance to or sanctuary within the U.S. Embassy here in Belize. Now, who is the ultimate powers? Secretary of State. Who's Secretary of State? Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
At that time. So now, why? It's clear to me she figured, if the U.S. doesn't give me sanctuary, the Belizeans are going to grab me and kill me. And her problem's over. Everybody's problem's over.
Yeah.
But she's certainly not going to raise this to the level that I might safely get back to the States and then suddenly start vomiting information all over the place, which I'm not stupid enough to do. I mean, the only reason I'm alive is because I have not done so. To keep reminding people that I can by sending them. Okay, here's a good example of that. Okay, in the Bahamas. So I found out that Paul Rowe, the commissioner of police for the Bahamas, was working with the CIA. And I find that out. Why? Because I am a cybersecurity expert. And not only can I protect my data from you, you can't protect your data from me. It's just the way it works. I mean, if I am a security expert, I can't be one unless I am also the best hacker on this planet. What sort of security expert would I be? So if I want to find something out, well, I'm just going to do it. I regret if I've ever broken a nation state's laws or city laws or even laws of conscience and good behavior. Nevertheless, if my life is in danger, I promise you I will do so. So I found out about Paul Lowell. So I just had my people go, give me the dirt on Paul Lowell. It only took me 15 minutes.
Right.
Got his private, there he had a private bank account in the Cayman Islands. I got the bank account number. I got every deposit and every withdrawal into that account for the past 2 years. And I then called the press and the Bahamian, what is it? Whatever the Bahamian main newspaper is in Nassau. And I just out loud gave them the information, which show, and that was just a few minutes before we left off to get out of the Bahamas to avoid Paul Rowe's SWAT team, which was coming that evening for me. So I out him in the Bahamian press. We're out at sea on our way to Cuba, so I didn't get to see the newspaper the day after, but the day after, headline, Paul Rowe sued John McAfee for defamation of character. But I do things like this just to show people, listen, if I say I got it, I got it. There is nothing that any prominent figure has ever done that I cannot find out about, including sometimes, depending on your age, your first masturbation. So, you know, my point is, people, don't fuck with me. I'm releasing nothing. You don't touch me. I'm not touching you. Paul Wall came after me. Look what happens. All right. Now, Paul Wall is in deep shit now. Well, so am I. I mean, he's a very vicious character and a police commissioner for a nation state, the Bahamas, not known for gentleness and following laws and procedures. So, among others, and at least for the next few months, probably I need to look over my shoulder for him. But I've got the same goods on everybody who has tried to fuck with me, including Hillary Clinton and James Comey. They should have fucking left me alone, I'm saying right now.
I'm loving this, John. You know, my podcast has a mantra, a mission, if you will. A three-word statement, that is, take no shit. You'll see over my shoulder here, there, TNS, take no shit.
Ah, all right.
Okay, and my listeners who are overwhelmingly male, are very much want to know what you are. Clearly, you hold a 10th degree black belt in the art of not taking shit.
Okay. I thank you. I think that's a compliment.
It absolutely is. Yes.
I thank you very much.
and so.
I got to remember that one.
Oh, it's yours. And I'm speaking to you right now. This is the Take No Shit Dojo in Los Angeles, California.
We're going to pause here. Clearly, John is a black belt in the art of take no shit. And when we pick up on or about next Tuesday, John will reveal his secrets in the art of taking no shit, as well as how to find a girlfriend, what brings him happiness, and how you can find your bliss. He'll also weigh in with his thoughts on the movie they're making about him, where he will be portrayed by Michael Keaton. From Batman to that man. If you'd like to see the video of this interview, including a glimpse of the lovely and elusive Mrs. McAfee, Janice, you can see it by visiting thatlarryshow.com and clicking the Patreon button. There you will find dozens of other special episodes, signed books, custom recordings, and the fellowship of other members of the Take No Shit Dojo. It's a wonderful crew. I had so much fun interviewing John McAfee, I plan to do one interview per month for a while. Which regrettably means something has to give, and that something will be Sinner Sunday. Not entirely, mind you, I'll still be doing one Sinner Sunday per month for the salvation of your immortal soul. Thanks for hanging with me again. It's always great to be with you. Until next week, hang out with me on Twitter and Facebook. Just plug That Larry Show into the search bar. You'll find it. Until that time, take no shit.